Yeah, it's been a minute.
How do we start this thing?
Fuck, I don't even remember what we used to do, but ladies and gentlemen, we have found him. Jamie Brown, who was once missing, has been relocated, and we are back here again for another A-League season here on the Circle and Rectangle Show. Jamie Brown, how have you been?
I've been good. It's been a long 8 months. I've definitely missed doing show. That's for sure. But yeah, that's what happens when I get stuck on fucking night shift and you work normal people hours. We just can't schedule it.
It's amazing how you can't really do a show without us. That's pretty much the main thing that happened. Jamie Brown, working the night shift, so he starts at 4 o'clock, and I'm getting home at 4:30. Never really times where our schedules really lined up to record the show, but luckily for us, Jamie Brown is back on days at least for the next fortnight.
At least 5 months. I think I'm on morning, so we'll be able to do this very regularly, hopefully.
Yeah, so at least make. We'll guarantee you've got at least a fortnight worth of fucking Circle and Rectangle Show. So we'll the first two rounds before we disappear again.
We'll be here after week one, yeah.
Yeah. If we're back after week three, you're in for a long season. But look, the A-League season is right around the corner. In fact, it starts tonight. A-League's back. It's been a long preseason, Jamie Brown, but A-League is back.
See, that's another reason why we're gone for so long. The fucking off-season for the A-League is ridiculous. Like, Premier League... 6 weeks, they're back into preseason games. You're seeing international tours. A-League, it's like 4.5 months, 5 months. Like, what the hell are we doing here? But hey, it's back. It's all that matters. It's back tonight.
A-League is back. Yeah, look, long off-season for the A-Leagues. But look, it's going to be an interesting season. We've got a World Cup, seven rounds in?
Yeah.
So we lose a month of football, but exciting times in Qatar where at least the Socceroos will be playing at some regular hours for us to watch. But look, a lot of people I've spoken to, there's the big difference between like us and the A-League and the Premier League. Look, Premier League, big football, probably the best in the world, but the A-League is our league. We need to get behind the A-Leagues. I have more of a connection to my Western Sydney Wanderers than I do my Premier League team because I get to watch them week in, week out at a regular time and not fucking slaving away at 4 a.m. to watch us get battered. So at least I can stay up at 7 p.m. and watch the Wanderers get battered. So that's the difference.
Yeah.
I can live with the battering.
You know, we're both members of our clubs. We love our clubs. We hate each other's clubs. But you're right. We get to go to games.
Don't leave it at the clubs. We just hate each other. Can't leave it.
True. That's why we didn't go on a fishing trip a couple of weeks back because we just couldn't stand being on a boat together. Like, South
One of us was not coming back.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there was one of our bodies was going to be in the river. But yeah, you know, you get to go to games. Like, I'll be there Saturday night for the Big Blue. I don't know why I'm going. I mean, I know why I'm going, but it's not going to be a fun time for anyone dressed in sky blue. And you'll be there on Sunday afternoon watching your boys get the first win by a lot of goals. So, you know, you have that. It's what we always hear English football fans talk about with their clubs, that attachment to the club. It means more to them because they get to, you know, they're a part of it. It's what we have with Sydney FC and the Western something. I don't know. But, yeah.
That small club from Parramatta, as the MacArthur fans have called it, after their one trophy. Oh.
As that irrelevant club from southwestern Sydney call you.
It's not a derby. It's an inconvenience.
Oh, fucking hell.
Can you imagine that? Look, I'm going to say it. Well done to MacArthur FC on winning a trophy in your third season. The FFA Cup final, the Australia Cup final against a semi-professional team where you scored two goals from the spot to lift the trophy. That is more impressive to them than winning the Premier's plate in your first ever season. And then the only Asian Continental Cup won by a fucking Australian team.
Thank you for saying
the
Asian.
FFA Cup.
Some of us have won the Oceania Champions League. I mean, you'll never do that. But
you know what, MacArthur? When you've won a Continental Cup, come and talk to the big boys.
It's the fucking Wanderers thing. When you win the Asia Cup, come see me.
Hey, I called you into this. I said talk to the big boys. You've won the Oceania Continental.
Yep. We've won
the Asian Continental. MacArthur Bulls can't even win fucking Sunday League.
Yeah, no. But hey, credit to them. They got to lift that trophy in front of their 400 fans. So real credit to them showing up
disgusting.
For a final.
How can you not sell out a bay?
It's pathetic.
One bay.
It's fucking pathetic. Sydney United, a semi-professional team from the NPL1 in New South Wales. Yes, they have a massive support on the Croatian side. I'm not going to get into what happened at the game. They dwarfed MacArthur, this professional team from this massive hotbed of football in New South Wales. they not only couldn't sell out, like, can't sell out a bay, you know, you got no active support, the bullpen is garbage. But, like, if that's Sydney FC or the Wanderers, that stadium is almost a sellout. For a cup final. That, like,
for a cup final, if the Wanderers played at Bankwest Stadium in an effort in the Australia Cup final, there would not be an empty seat. The RBB would pack out the bottom and the top. The Cove at the new Allianz Stadium, fantastic ground to watch football, which Jamie Brown's going to this weekend.
Yeah.
That would be completely covered, first and second tier. You go to Amy Park, see West. Look, I tell you what, West United would probably have a fucking sold out bay.
Yep,
I'm pretty sure they did in the grand final.
In the final, yeah.
Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory, that whole back,
hands down,
that whole section is sold out. Adelaide, you play in Cooper Stadium, that whole section sold out.
Oh yeah.
Brisbane, you go to Suncorp, at least the bottom tier would sell out.
Yeah, it's hard to sell out 50,000 seats at Suncorp, you know.
Understandably.
But they still have, there'd be at least 20, 30,000 people there. MacArthur.
I tell you what, my under-21s had more fans cheering for them in the grand final than what the Bulls did in the Australia Cup.
Yep, the Shire Premier League grand final this season, which is the Shire's top division, they had more fans at Seymour Shore than MacArthur got to a FFA Cup or Australia Cup final. It's pathetic. Like, and, you know, some fans were coming at me when I was commenting about how pathetic it was, saying, you know, you're telling me Sydney FC in the first season would have sold out a thing. We won the fucking grand final in front of 43,000 fucking people in the first year of the new A-League. So don't come at me with that bullshit. In three seasons. You had three seasons to build a fan base and you still don't have one. We did it in one. The Cove went from 20 people in the preseason tournament to 300 or 400 at the first game to 2,000 memberships in season two. Might be dwindling now because, you know, we've been away, but it's coming back this year. But yeah, don't bullshit this 3-year crap.
You've got more members just for the Cove than what MacArthur Bulls will have
in total,
a lot more
this
year. But look, I'll tell you what, MacArthur have done something special. Any junior player in the MacArthur region, so if you played football in the MacArthur region this year, free membership.
It's not going to help.
For a junior. I tell you what, now that the kids don't have to, kids get free, like, the free tickets.
Yeah, parents still have to pay $50.
You may actually once get 10,000 people to Campbelltown.
That's not for Sydney FC or Western Sydney Wanderers. For not us playing. Because they get that for us because, you know, we bring 2,000 each. But for a for a Mariners game or some bullshit like that, yeah, they might get 10,000 there, which is pretty good at Campbelltown Stadium. It doesn't look too bad, but something's rotten in MacArthur. They have failed miserably with how they've done this. They're desperately trying to bring relevance to the area by bringing Dwight York in as a manager. I think he's overrated as fuck. I think he's just a name. He can bring in good players. He's not a good coach, put it that way. But hey, well done on winning the Australia Cup.
Yes, well done. Yes, well done.
Studio audience, thank you. Thank you, guys.
There was more people in that applause than there were MacArthur Bulls fans at that game.
We could do this all night. But we won't. We won't.
The worst part is, we keep saying they're irrelevant, and yet here we are talking about them because
it just
irks us so much because they are so bad.
Look, am I angry that Daniel Azani was meant to be coming to Sydney FC and then he changed his mind because he didn't think Steve Corica was a good manager, which he is correct in, and then went to the Bulls?
So, yeah, maybe. Are you saying Daniel Azani is wrong?
Yeah, look, he should have come to Sydney FC, regardless of everyone knows that Corrick is gone. You know, everyone knows. It's not no secret.
6 weeks.
Yeah, so he should have come to Sydney FC, just read out 6 weeks of shit, as all the fans are going to have to do, and then it would have gotten better. But no, has to go to MacArthur, Dwight York, blah, blah, blah. He'll realise how bad of a decision that was pretty quickly. And he'll probably either end up probably at the, you know, to be honest, probably at Melbourne Victory. That's where good players tend to go these days, now that they're relevant. Yeah,
well, you wouldn't believe it. Who's the coach down there? Tony Popovich.
Tony Popovich.
Man's a good coach.
Good manager. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. But, we've jumped straight into the show this year. They just kind of irked us, and it was just a lot of pent-up rage for over 8 months.
10 minutes of MacArthur hate. We do this every week. We
could do this every week. You know, we might get the, I don't know what the Bulls podcast is called, but I do know the host. We should probably get them on. We'll have a quick chat. Or we could get Councillor Riley Munro to talk about the Bulls. He is an avid Bulls supporter. You know what? He's the only Bulls supporter that isn't an idiot.
He's the one, huh?
And that's saying something. If you know Councillor Riley Munro, he's the one. He's the chosen one.
We could get friend of the show Bryce on if he wants to debate me about, you know, building a fan base in 3 years. You know, I'm more than happy to throw down some facts, but
the thing is, Jamie, you can't bring facts to an argument.
No, you can't. They'll just have something else to put it aside, you know, COVID, lemon there, but whatever. I think they're going to have a good season this year, but so maybe that'll.
Oh, 100%. That's the most disappointing part. They're gonna do well, and their fans are just gonna keep carrying on like twats because they think they're okay.
It's so messed up, but I think Sydney FC is going to be the fifth best team in New South Wales this year. Although, do you consider Sydney United better than us this year? Because at least they made a final. Like,
damn.
So we're the sixth best team, sorry, in New South Wales. Wow.
And you know what? No, you will be seventh. We'll throw my under-21s in that group as well.
No, I reckon we could beat you guys. It'll be close. No. We'd probably have to rely MacArthur tactics for some penalties.
Now, you wouldn't believe it. Friend of the show and also player in my under-21s, Christian Malone. I'm going to give you a shout-out. He's been asking for this pod to be back. But we'll get him to come on. He will tell you why our Eskil Park under-21s would beat Sydney FC.
Is he a Wanderers fan?
You wouldn't believe it. No, mate. I'm going to call him by his name, Christian Malone, instead of what I normally refer him to as brother of MacArthur Ram and young Matilda, Darcy Malone. But good listener. Thanks for joining us again, Christian. But mate, you reckon we could beat these Sydney FC dickheads? Absolutely.
Yeah, wait 6 weeks when we have a new coach. Then come see me.
Then we'll beat you by 12. Anyways, we should move on and not talk about garbage because we keep going on tangents. That's the best part about
it. Enough of the MacArthur balls. Forget about them.
Look, we do have a few things to go through. As we said, the A-League season does kick off tonight. And it's been a long off-season, as we've said before. But there's been a lot of signings for this A-League off-season. And I think we should go through some of the best and possibly some of the worst.
I have a few for the worst list, but let's do the best.
I have number one for the worst signing ever.
Is it a Sydney FC player? It is.
No, it's Dwight York.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. As we touched on, do we have to go back to MacArthur Bulls? Can we just not elaborate on that at all? Just say Dwight York is a bad signing.
No, look, if I'm going to say something, I think it will be this just because of my knowledge from being in and around members of the Western Sydney Wanderers. Look, I think Jack Wadrell for you is a bit of a dud signing. If he plays football, he's a good footballer, but for the amount of money you guys are paying him and putting him at centre back, it's silly. Look, when you're paying a bloke to sit on the physio tables more than stand in your back line, you're in for bad time. Is that the reason why Steve Corriker signed him? Is so he could get out of a job quicker?
That's how you guys had him, right? You had him for not a lot of time on the field. We're hoping that our physio team is a lot better we're going to have him for at least 10 games. Bro,
mate, Man City, Sunderland, blokes are physio fiend, mate.
Everton, Sheffield United, Western Sydney Wanderers. Yeah, look, it's been rough for him. You know, he's had a long career that hasn't spanned many games, but I'm confident. I think he'll be solid this year. I think he's not going to be worst signing. I think the worst signing is extending Alex Wilkinson, but that'll become very evident.
That's pretty bad.
On Saturday night, but
I'm honestly surprised you didn't say the worst signing was Milos Ninkovic to the Western Sydney Wanderers. That was the biggest signing of the off-season for a lot of people, not just Wanderers fans and Sydney fans, because I'll tell you what, I don't think I've seen a more hated signing from both clubs than what Milos Ninkovic was.
Put it this way, right? Nani signed for Melbourne Victory, and there was more hype on Ninkovic going to the Wanderers. It was more talked about Nani signing for the Victory. So
than the Nani.
And I think I can't say it was a horrible signing because you only did it out of spite. He's not going to play many minutes. He's not very good anymore, but it creates a huge amount of height and hype for the derby. He's going to get on in a derby, if not start and play 12 minutes and then you take him off wisely because he's useless now. But it's not a bad signing for what it does for the game.
Look, for you guys, it's a terrible signing because he honestly, as much as Del Piero was probably the biggest name to play for Sydney FC.
Yep. He was the best.
Milos Ninkovic, for what he had done for more consistency over longer time, has been and probably is Sydney FC's greatest ever player. And now he dons the red and black, and boy, does he look good.
Was our greatest ever player. Was.
Now he's shunned, isn't he? Shunned. It's
like Mark Rudin was a big blue man, was a legend of the club. Now he can go fuck himself, Soka Milos Ninkovic. Forza Croatia.
I'll tell you what. His arrival at the Wanderers probably wasn't even well received as...
No, you guys didn't want him.
No, not a single... I don't think... A couple members of the RBB said, oh, look, maybe. But a lot of us said, like, why would we want a man that is bleeds blue?
Well past his prime.
Like, why would we want a man that bleeds sky blue playing for the red and black? And haven't actually spoken to the bloke and seen the performances and spoken to Mark Rudin and spoken to the CEO... And I'm not saying, like, in general, like, myself personally have done this. Like, we've a lot going on behind the doors. Like, the bloke wants to play. And he does have a lot to offer. But, look, in saying that, just his experience alone, the Wanderers do have a younger squad than most.
And not just to mention...
Just that leadership and what he can do at training.
And also...
is a big signing. And we're not paying him that much money.
Yeah, see, that's a positive, but also the fact that Steve Corica doesn't know how to change a tactic, doesn't know how to reinvent it, and he knows exactly what Sydney FC is going to do. So that's going to be a horrible game come week six. It's going to be the end of Steve Corica's Sydney FC coaching career. But hey, this derby against Melbourne Victory, the Big Blue on Saturday night, is very close to being a sellout. Will probably be a sellout come game day. That Sydney derby at Bankwest and then at Allianz, for him alone,
it's going to be huge.
Is going to be massive. Yeah, so. Massive. That's why I can't say it's a bad signing, because it's going to make the Sydney derby what it was before we went away from Allianz. So it's not a terrible
signing. I'll tell you what, I cannot wait for Milos Ninkovic to score a 90th minute worldie to have the score be 3-1 Sydney FC. But look,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. And just do the Adebayor, just run the length and celebrate in front of the Cove.
That would be a good move.
It doesn't matter. It's going to be bans for us. But yeah, look, that's one of the signings. Wanderers have brought in a lot of new players. I think probably the biggest one for us, Lawrence Thomas is a good signing.
Oh, yeah. Massive
Danny Michaels is a good young keeper, but Lawrence Thomas, that experience.
Yep.
But probably the biggest one for us, and having seen the bloke in training, he will murder people this year.
This bloody French defender.
And that's Marcelo.
Yeah, the French defender.
Fucking massive. Brazilian. Brazilian Marcelo. Played in the Champions League 2 years ago.
I should have known it was Brazilian. Marcelo from Madrid. I should have known. But yeah, like, you guys do this every year. Every year you guys turn over pretty much the entire squad. So it hasn't worked for you yet. I think it will this year, because I think you've brought good quality players in, which is amazing, because Mark Rudin built the squad. So it's
a Mark Rudin squad, not the Kyle Robinson squad.
Mark Rudin is about as overrated as John Aloisi. So, hey, but I mean, I've got you high on my ladder, so... That hurt to say, but yeah.
What does that say about...
Well...
What does that say?
It says we're better than you. It does. It doesn't mean he's a good manager. I just think the club has been able to attract the right players. Ninkovic excluded from that. But I don't really know if there's been like many bad signings. Like Perth, I'm just ignoring them completely this year. Wellington Phoenix hasn't really brought in a lot of players. I think...
So I think Perth's best signing this year was getting a stadium. That was pretty good.
Yeah, tiny stadium. I think Wellington Phoenix best is Stephen Ugarkovich, formerly of the Wanderers in Newcastle. I think at a club like that, he can, like, he started at the Jets. Wanderers, big club, a lot of big names around him. He sort of blended in with the crowd, but I think at a club like Wellington Phoenix this year,
he was consistent, though. He was useful, good in his position. But yeah, so that's a big signing for Wellington, Stephen. They're gonna struggle this year without the Reno Piscopo.
Oh, yeah. Which I think is another good signing for the Jets. Why didn't Sydney FC go for him?
I think we were actually, both of us were more disappointed that he went to Jess than like either one of our clubs.
Yeah, he's got, hey, it makes them good. It makes them relevant. A packed out McDonald Jones Stadium, I think it's called still.
McDonald Jones Stadium, yeah.
Is a really good atmosphere, especially on an away day. It's a great away trip. So hopefully it brings the fans in, and they play really well under Pappas in his second year, I think, or second and a half year.
Yep.
But yeah, that's another good signing. Looking at the Sydney FC list... I mean, if Lolly can stay fit, I think he's a pretty good signing.
Joe Lolly is actually a very good signing. As a former Nottingham man, look, he is a good footballer. He won Nottingham Forest Player of the Year a couple of years ago. His performances have been dropping. A lot of injuries in recent times. But he's a good player. He's a little selfish, which is good. It fits right into the eastern suburbs kind of vibe.
Adam Lafondra, very selfish as well, so...
Yeah, so now Joe Lolly, if he gets it on his left peg, he's a genuine chance of scoring. He's a good footballer. Very disappointed he went there, but
his highlights were very good. But highlights are always good.
thing is, similar to, I don't know what it is with the English players that come out here, but their Twitter game is just so much better than it was. You've got Joe Lolly, who once tweeted after winning Nottingham Forest Player of the Year, "I would thank my teammates, but this is an individual award, so go fuck yourselves."
Good man.
And then you've got Charlie Austin.
Oh, the king.
Who has been nothing but absolute bants on the Twitter. That is the biggest signing of the A-League this year. Not just for his on-field ability and the fact that he celebrated in front of the Sydney Croatia fans after scoring a pen, but just on Twitter has been outstanding.
And then lost the game.
Doesn't matter. It's outstanding.
Yeah, I think this, you know, there's that Inside Sky Blue thing on Paramount right now that debuted today. I think it, or yesterday. Today? Yesterday? I don't know. But I think they should just be at home with the Austins, because the banter between him and his wife on Twitter, the shit she puts out and how he acts and everything, I think it would be fantastic. Obviously, you have to deal with going in behind the scenes of Brisbane Roar. Their coach seems like a drip. Their club seems like a drip. But he is a character. He would make it sort of exciting. And, you know, I think he's a good signing. I've known of Charlie for a long time, being an England fan and following lower league football as long as I have. But I still don't think he's the best. Nani's the best.
No, look, Nani is the biggest. I think that's the biggest signing from Orlando Football Club in the United States. But look, that's a huge signing for Melbourne Victory. If he can play even to like an ounce of his potential, he will probably be the best player in the league.
I mean, he's looked good in the preseason, so
he's looked great. He does look good in that blue. I'll give him that. Better than that red of the Manchester, but he's a lot older than what he once was when he played for the Red Devils. But look, he's a massive signing for Melbourne Victory. He's that star that they needed. And you've got Tony Popovic, who's a class manager, who's going to get the best out of him.
And so many good players.
Very tough team to beat this year.
I think looking at their squad, the weakest position in like group in that whole squad is their goalkeepers. They're weak in the goalkeeper, but their defense is strong. Midfield, they're going to be very creative and really hard to break down. And then their strike force is going to be deadly. This is going to be a shit year to be a Sydney FC fan. God, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I can sit here at the end of the season as we lift the trophy, but I hope we're wrong. Oh my God.
You mean wrong like we were last year when we both said Western United would come last?
Yeah, there's no evidence of us saying that at all. You can go back and listen to the previous show of last season.
We speak nothing but truth on this show.
Yeah, that's it. We're nothing but facts. We cut that audio. There is no audio of us saying that at all. I predicted John Aloisi, fantastic manager, them to win it all, but you know. How good has it been having the F2 freestylers, one of them anyway, out here for the...
Well, yeah, Billy Wingrove at the Wanderers.
Yeah, he's been out promoting. He was down in Melbourne for the launch last week, and he's been up here in Sydney this year. It's been awesome to have a huge personality like him. Fantastic footballer. Shame about injuries, but yeah, it's been good to have... I think they've done it right this year. Well, maybe it's just because we're in that sort of circle, like all of our social media revolves around it, but it feels like they've promoted it really well. Isuzu's trolling Channel 9 and Channel 7 and Kayo by putting ads about how they support the A-League on there, so that's been fantastic. It almost makes me want to buy an Isuzu D-Max now, just for the troll factor.
You wouldn't believe it. I drive one, and they're fantastic. You do. I think... we're going well off a tangent here.
Previewing the season.
Somewhat, but look, I think this is going to be a big year for the A-Leagues, just men's and women's, because I think it has to be. You've got the World Cup this year, and you wouldn't believe it, World Cup years are massive for football in this country. Oh, yeah. Every time there's been a World Cup year, I think the A-League has thrived.
No matter how bad the soccer do.
Having the Women's World Cup here next year will do massive things for the W League this year, if they promote it right.
Well, they've expanded the season this year, so it's going to be longer.
You got new clubs coming in?
Yeah, you haven't really bought the big players. I guess the WSL is still on at the moment, so you can't really get those players. But I would look for, as that season winds down, as we go into our season, I would look for some of those players to maybe jump over for a quick like 6 to 8 game spell in the league, just to get like accustomed to the climate. Because, yeah, World Cup next year, we're going to have the biggest club. We're going to have America, we're going to have England, we're going to have Sweden, three countries that Australia, well, not Australia, but Tony Gustafsson can't coach against. All coming down on our home turf to hopefully win a World Cup. Confidence is dwindling because they still have him as manager. But hey, it's going to be awesome. And like you said, World Cup years are great for the domestic game in Australia. And I hope it carries on, even if MacArthur are successful this year. I still hope the game grows.
You wouldn't fucking believe it, but my brother's actually just texted me. The Bulls had a fucking... He went to the square, which is a local here. And the Bulls have a fucking merchandise stand there with a couple of players. But good thing he had his Wanderer scarf in his car.
So he could just walk by and troll.
Ole, ole. We're back on the Bulls. Fuck, I hate the Bulls.
Credit to those five fans for showing up to that launch. But enough with the. We got to stop trolling the Bulls. We got plenty of time to do that as the season goes on. But
should we? A long season of us trolling the Bulls. Even though if they're going to be playing good football, we'll still be.
Do not care because their fans are going to be terrible. So that's all that matters. How do you want to do this? Do you want to do the ladder first? Like, we'll just predict the full ladder, or we'll go our. We have a few.
Is there any more good and bad signings we can talk about? Or overrated, underrated players?
Well, we've got that.
Into the big guns.
We got our ultimate overrated, underrated players. So I've got my two right here. I've already touched on.
All right, who are your two? Two overrated and two underrated?
No, I got one overrated and one underrated.
All right, who have you got for your most underrated for this season?
I've gone for what these players will bring to the teams that they're in, and because I think the Brisbane Roar are going to be garbage this year, I've got Charlie Austin as overrated. I think he's a great striker. They don't have a good midfield. He's not going to get good service.
We've just been promoting the bloke. How good I know, he's be. And but the most overrated player.
Yeah, just because they're not going to be good, and he's not going to get this. If he went to a Wanderers, a Sydney FC, even a Melbourne Victory, a Melbourne City, he's going to get the service, and he's going to bag goals like Jamie McLaren does.
Look, if he went to Adelaide,
he'd get goals.
He'd get a golden boot.
Yeah, but he's going to Brisbane Roar, where they really don't have anyone through the midfield that's going to be able to control the game. O'Shea's getting old. He's not who he used to be. Akbari is probably the next best player. Danzaki's really good, but again, the ball's got to get to him. I just think he's going to be great for the promotion of the game and the shit that he's going to put when he scores a goal when they're down 3-0 and he celebrates in front of the old fans. But I think he's going to be overrated for that factor. He's not going to help them win a title. So,
look. You could give him the entire Melbourne Victory squad, and I don't think Brisbane Roar would still win the title. But, all right, who have you got for underrated?
Underrated, I've already touched on him. Wellington Phoenix, Steven Ugarkovich. I think I've got them really close to making the finals this year, and I think it's going to be on the back of his work in the midfield. He's tireless, he gets back and makes tackles, and he can play a ball better than most players in the league. So if Rene Piscopo was there, it'd be even more important because he needs
Wellington that would be a tough squad.
Yeah, but he's not. But they do still have some good players going forward, and I think he's going to be massive to them. I think he'll easily get their player of the year. But I think that's a great signing, and I think, yeah, people aren't talking about that as much as they should be because he is a good player.
Fair enough. Yep, look, for overrated, I would say the entire MacArthur Bulls squad because they are completely overrated. But this year it could go even to Western United because – quite frankly, last year, caught lightning in a bottle. That's an absolute fluke. John Aloisi is a clown. But my overrated signing of the year is Daniel Arzani. And I'm going to keep shitting on MacArthur Bulls, but I think Daniel Arzani will not be the star that he was when he went to that World Cup 4 years ago.
He was high on my list as well, man. I think he was top three. So.
Massively high on the list. Look, good footballer, yes, but a lot of injuries in his young career, which is a shame because I think he could have been one of the best players Australia had ever seen. But when you put him next to Ulysses De Vea, who again is a good footballer, but when you've got those two in a team, you have the two biggest divers in the fucking competition.
Oh my God, yeah. And there's only one ball, you know? Yeah. The more times Arzani touches it, the less time the magician De Vea touches it. And that's not a good thing. Like sometimes
especially
it's better
for MacArthur when everything has to go through Ulysses. And as I said, Ulysses De Vea is a great player. He's a wonderful footballer.
Yeah.
But he is the maestro of MacArthur FC. If he doesn't get the ball, MacArthur really don't do well.
Yeah.
He is instrumental in that team. And when you've got someone of Daniel Arzani's caliber next to him, you would think that you've got two of the same players and two is always better than one. But you can't have them both at the same time. So and when you've got someone like Craig Noon as well, who is also very good on the ball.
Yeah, it's...
It's you've got two. I think with MacArthur this year, they've got too many heads making the decision.
What they've got is too many creative players and not enough of that sort of hard holding midfield player that can sit in the middle and sort
Keanu
of direct everything.
Oh, sorry, Kieran Backus. No, it is Keanu.
Yeah, it is Keanu. It is Kieran.
One of them.
It's Kieran, yeah, because Keanu's playing for Hearts.
Keanu's going to, I keep getting confused. But yeah, but Kieran's back, a former Wanderers player playing. He was playing for Kaizer Chiefs over in South Africa for a while. Look, he's a very good like defensive midfielder as well.
Yeah, but they're going to want to play Arzani with De Vea, with Craig Noon. It's about game time. And if they feed the hot hand, people are like, these Bulls fans are saying, hey, Daniel Asani, surely he's going to be in that Socceroos squad for the World Cup. I really don't think so. Like, he hasn't played much football. Anything.
He's not in form.
No,
it's not like he was fantastic and was always in the starting 11 before he got injured. No, he was on the cusp.
He's barely played much football over the last 5 or 6 years. So, yeah, he's not on that list. But who's your underrated player? Enough bagging the Bulls. We got to get away from that. Well, that's fun.
It is fun. Underrated, look, I think, Dan Zaki is good for Brisbane Roar. He was phenomenal for them 2 years ago, and obviously he had to go back to Japan after his loan spell finished, but he's back in the mighty orange of Brisbane. Look, I'm going to say underrated is Milos Ninkovic. The underrated signing of the year will be Milos Ninkovic. I think he will actually provide a lot more for the Wanderers than you think he will.
On the field? Because I don't think he's going to play.
On the field, look, he's been good on the field in the trial games. Off the field, he's bringing a lot more to the club than what a lot of people see. But look, now, if you're my real underrated signing of the year, and it is going to be a Western Sydney Wanderers player, Romain Amalfitano. I keep going to butcher that all year because he is French. But Romain Amalfitano from Ligue 1 is going to be massive for us.
Never
playing
heard of
in
him.
That number eight role. Next to Oli Bozanić, he's going to be huge.
That was a good signing for you guys as well.
Oli Bozanić is a massive signing. Look, I think Mark Ridner's brought in a lot of good players, but Amalfitano is probably going to be key for the Wanderers. Similar to what Ulysses De Vea is for MacArthur, except Romain plays a lot of a deeper role.
Does he dive?
Where he can actually come back and he's a genuine number eight, but can play as a six.
So doesn't dive.
Where he can come back and receive the ball to move forward. Whereas Ulysses is a genuine number 10, sits behind the striker, wants the ball there to play out.
Doesn't come back, isn't going to defend for you.
And that's where I think the key is for Mark Rudin this year, is that midfield. Look, as I said, he brought in a lot of good players. Kasuni Yangi from Adelaide for us is going to be huge.
That was on my underrated list. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he's going to be massive for us. I can't say our Croatian, Bosnian striker's name. But for the Wanderers, he's going to be huge. 15 goals in 30 games last year.
Can't say it.
Massive. Yeah. No, I literally cannot say it. It's written in front of me and I'm looking at it. It's letters on a page.
He's Bosnian, right? Just call him Jacko.
Aiden. Yeah. Pjanic. No, he's been good for us. But yeah, Romain's a massive signing for us. I think we've lost Tate Russell as well for the entire season with an ACL injury.
Oh, it sucks.
Bad for us, but
that was a sincere Quirin that sucks, by the way. Not a snarky one. Yeah. That was
very sincere. very sincere. But yeah, look, that's the underrated signing for the A-League this year.
Right.
I don't know. It's gonna be a tough long year for both of our teams.
No, you guys are gonna be in the finals. You'll be fine.
One of us will be in the finals.
Yeah, it's not gonna be my team.
Correct. And unfortunately, the other Sydney team is going to be in there as well.
Yeah,
I think we should get into it. We've been teasing this ladder for the last 20 seconds, but maybe we should go into what we have as our final ladders. And we're going to compare it to what it is at the end of the season. Because last year we were well off. I think we had it upside down.
I think we're only off with the team that came first.
You know what? We started from the top and just worked our way down. And that's why we started with Western United. But unfortunately, Melbourne City had a lot better the year because we had them at like second last. So, yeah, well done to Melbourne City for a good year last year.
Rough for us.
Jamie Brown, who have you got as the Wooden Spooners for this A-League's season?
This year's Wooden Spooners is probably no surprise to everybody. They have had trouble finding a stadium. It's Perth Glory. I could not agree more.
I'll tell you what, and unfortunately it is because their kits this year have been fucking outrageously good. I would wear them. I love the colour, the purple and orange. That's a good kit.
A lot of people told me that home kit's good. I like the away kit a lot. The home kit, this is what we should have done. We should have rated the kits. But the home kit's a bit meh, but the away kit is very sharp. But
I'll tell you what, we can give the kits as we go on the ladder. That's what we can do. We can tell the kits as we go on the ladder. Because if it went based on kits, Perth Glory would be a lot higher. But no, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would be.
Because on the field, unfortunately, as much as they're going to look good doing it, their football is not going
to
be that great.
They're going to look good conceding goals, except to Sydney FC.
Correct.
Who have you got, Wooden Spoon? Or do you want me to go? Do you want me to go bottom to top?
I have Perth Glory. It's a no brainer. Unfortunately for all of our Perth fans.
So congratulations, Perth. You're going to win the league this year. So
yeah, if we go on our track record,
congratulations. Perth are in
for a fucking great year.
Yep. I don't know who's the manager over there, but
Bruno Fortaroli is going to score 30 goals.
Yep. Good luck. Enjoy that trophy celebration.
Sorry, Australian Bruno Fortaroli is going to score
30 goals. Yeah, yeah. Second last, I have the Brisbane Roar. As previously stated, I don't think they're going to be very good. I don't think their coach is very good. Majority of that team is not very good either. So, yeah, second last for Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, it's like we've been talking this entire time because you know what? I've got Brisbane Roar in 11th as well. As much as I love Charlie Austin and a good friend of the show, Nick Adaman, who has come out and said he's no longer a Brisbane Roar fan, but he is a Charlie Austin fan, so he's going to support the club.
they're back at Suncorp, aren't
look,
they?
Yeah. Huh?
They're back at Suncorp.
They are back at Suncorp.
Yeah, he'll be back at Suncorp. He'll be back there.
He'll be back. Suncorp member, so he's back in the A-Leagues. But yeah, only because the Dolphins kick off their campaign, so they've been kicked out of Redcliffe.
Fucking Dolphins.
Look, it's been a bit of a shambles for Brisbane Roar, the whole Corey Brown incident as well. But
horrible offseason.
Yeah, terrible. So, look, I'm going to keep them in 11th because I just think Perth have had a bit more of a hassle.
So 10th or third last, this is going to shock a lot of people, including the bookies, but I've got Western United. They caught lightning in a bottle. John Aloisi is not good. They have not improved that team very well. They still don't have a home ground. They are not going to do good this year. Defending champions will not make the finals. I hope.
That is a big claim. And not just because we said them dead last year and they ended up winning the comp, but the fact that they won the comp and Jamie Brown is keeping them in the bottom of the table.
Yep. Sticking to my guns, I'm stubborn.
Yeah. Look, you are a bit stubborn. 10th place, I've got the Wellington Phoenix.
That's fair-ish. Like we were saying before we started recording that after the top five, it's probably very, very even. So
very close. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, I think the top five are going to be very, very close. But I also think the rest are going to be very, very close.
Except for Perth and Brisbane.
Except for Perth and Brisbane, they're out.
The top five?
So I reckon from 10 to 6 are going to be very close.
Yep.
And 5 to 1 are going to be very close.
Yep. That's where, I think the top five are going to be potential champions and the next five are, fighting for sixth.
Yeah.
9th, I have the Wellington Phoenix. So I also think they're going to have a rough year, but better than Western United. They'll finish above the defending champions.
Well, I tell you what, that's a championship if you're Wellington Phoenix. If you finish above, as Jamie Brown predicts, the current champions of the A-Leagues, minor premiers and champions of the A-League, that's a win. That's a massive win.
And I'm basing a lot of that.
Our friends across the Dutch.
I'm basing that a hell of a lot on Ufuk Tale being a really good manager and then going home. So,
going home is probably massive. But
those first few games.
I love the promotion. A massive thank you to Wollongong for hosting them for the last couple of years. And they're going to have one or two home games in Wollongong again.
Yeah, I think the first game is down in Wollongong. So they'll get a win over Adelaide this weekend down in Wollongong. But just purely on the going back home thing, bit more return to normalcy, and they've got a really good manager. So I still, and Ollie Sale's a really good goalkeeper too. So that's purely based on that. And
the All Whites number one?
Yep. Now. So that's purely why I'm doing it. I think they'll be there, but they'll be fighting with a few teams for that top six, but I think they'll just miss out. It'll be close, but
I have Adelaide United in 9th.
Not a bad shout.
Yeah.
The only reason
The
only reason we're different here is because I've got Western United not in the top six.
Yeah, because you're an idiot. That's the only difference. I am going to be right. I'm basing off mine off logic. You're going off emotion.
Do you think John Aloisi is a good manager?
Going off emotion, MacArthur would be dead last, and then second last, and all of them.
Do you think John Aloisi is a good manager? Do you think he can do that again?
No, I don't think he's a good manager.
Exactly.
But you're running off the form of what you did last year. It's the whole
Diamante's older.
To be fair, it could be the whole Leicester story. Dead last, come up finishing first. Claudio Ranieri, John Aloisi, they're cut from the same cloth, those two. And then he lasted less than half a season. So
I'm just, Diamante's older. Jamie Young, we love Jamie Young on this podcast.
I'm a massive Jamie Young fan. We all know that.
He's a season older. That defense isn't getting any younger. Wenzel Halls didn't impress me last year, that's for sure. I just think they're taking a step back and they're missing the finals. But that's the only reason, the only way we're different at the moment. Because in 8th, I've got Adelaide United. So if you don't put Western United in 10th for me, we're right on with the bottom five so far.
Yeah, we're pretty much still bang on.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I don't know why. I just, you know, they've got a good squad. They just seem to not be able to put it together. I don't think they've got a good enough squad to challenge for the title. They'll be challenging for the playoffs, but yeah, just, yeah, I think they'll miss out again.
Why, this pleases me to say, but in eighth position, I've got Sydney FC.
Yep. I mean, I'm not stunned because in seventh position, I have Sydney FC.
I'll tell you what, you're only in eighth because if you have Steve Corica all season, you'd be a lot lower.
Yeah,
if Steve
Corica
keeps his job during this year, you will not finish higher than eighth. You will finish fucking well lower.
But see, that's how close we are thinking. Like, I've got them in seventh. You know, so
you're a Cove member.
No, not a Cove member. I'm a Sydney member, not a Cove member this year. I'm with the Happy Clappers.
You're not scum.
I'm with the Happy Clappers in Bay 32. So, yeah, looking forward to it. But yeah, I don't think we're making the finals.
You clap with your nose up and, oh, yes, wonderful football.
Well done, Melbourne Victory. Another great goal. Yeah. Thank you, Stevie Corica, for fucking us.
That makes it eight.
But yeah, I don't think. I think we're right on the border. We're really close to making the finals. Depends who we bring in as a coach and what he can do in that sort of time frame between the World Cup and when they sack him after week six. I just think I think it's going to be too late then. We might have one win, maybe a draw inside that first 6 weeks. It's not going to be enough. Not a good enough start for the new coach to come in and completely turn around the culture, the tactics and the style. Yeah, I just think we're missing the finals for the second year in a row.
You know what's going to happen? You guys are going to do awfully up until round six.
Yep.
And then the Wanderers are going to go, hey, you know what? Here's 3 points so that Steve Corica can keep his job.
Fuck off. You better not. Swear to God, you better beat us 5-1. You better beat us 5-1.
You're
going to
win the derby.
No,
I'm going to say this with a smile, even though it pains me. You're going to win the derby. Corica's going to keep his job, and we're going to laugh ourselves to a fucking top four finish while
1,000%.
You guys finish 12th.
1,000%, Mark Rudin and Tony Popovich are going, hey, let's just let Sydney FC beat us in that early season. Give them the confidence. Re-sign Corica for 3 years and then fucking beat the shit out of them in the next two derbies. I haven't thought about that.
That way Corica keeps his job for the next 10 years and then we just fucking laugh ourselves to the bank.
Don't fucking think I haven't thought about that shit. Both of your clubs are scum. I totally, like, we'll sacrifice the away derby.
We fucking would do it.
100%.
We would do it.
But yeah, we're going to finish seventh.
But in seventh place, I have the Newcastle Jets.
Man, we are.
Just missing out on the finals.
Aside from my hatred of John Aloisi, we are very similar because in sixth place, I have Newcastle Jets. So, yeah.
Making the finals for Jamie Brown, former Newcastle man, because he used to live up there, but always a Sydney FC at heart.
Newcastle, I guess.
Unfortunately for me... Yeah, close enough. Unfortunately for me, Newcastle missing out on the playoffs. And good friend of the show, I have Nick Montgomery's Central Coast Mariners finishing in sixth position on the basis that, look, I think they're going to be good, playing good football this year. You've got the Cum Dingo up top.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Garang Kuol until January.
Yeah, and then he's gone. So, but they've got other good players. They've recruited really well. I think Michael Roos, friend of the show, is a good player. I think defensively they're very solid. They've got good young players coming through. Goalkeeper-wise, I'm going to be a little bit worried. Vukovic is good, but hasn't played a lot of consistent football the last couple of seasons. But
you do have they still have Birigetti, but
no, he's at Dundee.
Is he gone again?
He's at Dundee United.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone again.
Yeah,
classic clown. Go play fourth string over there. But look, I've got friend of the show Nick Montgomery, Central Coast in sixth. Fifth place, Jamie Brown.
I have the Western Sydney Wanderers. I think you'll make the finals. I think
it's finals football.
You're never really good in the regular season. But I think you'll be in the finals. And like anyone in this top five that I put out, I think is capable of winning the competition. I think it's that close. But yeah, I think you'll be fifth. That hurt.
Good. It should. Because in fifth place, I have Western United.
There's where our difference is. You like John Aloisi. You think he's a good manager.
No, I just think...
Clearly you do.
I still think defensively they're stronger. They're one of the strongest defensive teams in the competition.
Only because they got a good goalkeeper.
And centre-back in Lacroix is... For me, Lacroix was the best player last year. Lacroix was the best player in the A-League last year. What he did for Western United as just a defensive rock, but with goal-scoring prowess from set pieces.
How did they fucking win that?
I don't think he's going to be as good as he was last year as he is this year, and that's why I've got them in fifth. If he could guarantee he played as well as he did last year, they'd be a lot higher.
That's what I'm saying. I just, you know, I think they're going to sleep off next this year. We're up to four now, right? Yeah, because you just did
your fifth.
We are up to four. In fourth place, I've got the Central Coast Mariners. So very close to what you have. Mm-hmm. I think they have a good squad. I mean, friend of the show, Nick Montgomery, I think he's a great manager, to be honest. Their promotion of youth talent and how good they are when they come into the top division, just the players that have already left the club to go overseas, I think they're going to be pretty good, and I think they'll be a top four team and are definitely a chance of winning the league. Mareesh is still there. Like you said, the cum dingo. We love him here on the show. I think they're a real good chance of going all the way.
He's being capped, so we can call him.
He is capped. Finally, yeah, no, they capped the cum dingo.
It's not a bad shout. He's capped. We capped the cum dingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fourth, and it pains me to say they're going to do this well, but they're still beneath us. In fourth place, I've got MacArthur FC.
That's a fair shout. I mean, we both admit...
Look, Dwight York, unproven manager, but I think he's got the right mentality. As I said, they do have Ulysses De Vea, who is one of the best players in the A-League at the moment. They do have some good players up top. None of them are Lockie Rose.
Nope, none of them are Lockie Rose.
Kieran Backus back in the midfield is good for them. I still think Philip Costi
Curto
in goals. Philip Curto in goals is still good. Look, I think they're going to do well, but the fourth place for me, I can't have them any higher than that. I think the top three teams have just, I think they have bought better, and I think they are better.
Yeah, I have them high, but you know, like I said, top five, anyone can win it, but my third place team, this also hurts me to say, but it's going to be the Melbourne Victory. I think they'll be very good this year. I think they'll have a couple of lulls throughout the season. But I think with Nani, D'Agostino, defensively they look really solid. For some reason, Lee Broxham's still there, but I don't think he'll get much game time, so that won't hinder them too much. I think going forward, they're going to be deadly. Jake Brimmer is a phenomenal footballer. Johnny Warren medalist last year. Great set pieces. Ben Falami going forward's good. I think Melbourne Victory are top three, and I think they're a very good chance of winning the league.
Yeah, I can see that because I've got them a little higher for me, though, because in third place, one above MacArthur, is the Western Sydney Wanderers.
I don't blame
you. I think, look, Mark Rudin, he's had his off-season. He has his off-season. He's brought in the players he wants that are good culture for the club. We've met the players. I think backroom this year, like the backroom staff and the corporate staff this year, I think are a lot more invested in the club. Like, as much as... JT for the club at the start was fantastic and made the Wanderers what they were. The change was necessary. We've gone in a new CEO who is probably one of the best in the league because, first and foremost, he is a fan of the club. He is a football fan and a fan of the Western Sydney Wanderers.
So he's a bad
person. He's one of the people. Mate, I've met the man several times, had good conversations with him.
If Jared likes him, he's a bad person.
Correct. Oh, that's why I like Jamie Brown.
Yep.
But look, yeah, I think the culture this year feels feels a lot better. The last few years, you could tell that we weren't there. Like, we were just, another season of football, here we go. We'll chant for 90 minutes, but we will go home disappointed because we suck. There was no interest in the club whatsoever. I think this year is going to be a lot different. It feels so much better than it has in the last few. It feels like a new beginning. It feels like season one. The fans are invested. The backroom staff are invested. We've got a good squad to start with. I think we're going to finish third and possibly win the championship.
It helps when your biggest rivals are shit. So, you know, I'd be happy too if you guys were garbage. That's for sure. But in second place, this also, fuck man, this hurts to say, but MacArthur, I think they're going to come second. A really good squad. I don't think their manager's going to do anything really that's going to make a difference. Best case scenario is he hinders the club, but I think they've recruited really well in the off-season. You know, they've probably got arguably the best player in the league in their team in Ulysses De Vea, and he's playing for a reason right now with what happened to him in the off-season, which was a tragedy, but I think MacArthur's going to have an amazing year. I pray to God they don't win the double, but it would not surprise me if they do. See, I don't completely hate you, MacArthur.
Because unfortunately, they play good finals football, as proven with the Australia Cup. And a two penalty win over a semi-professional team.
Can it really count?
Look, as I said, like, that's, they're in fourth for a reason. Like, they're not a terrible squad. We just shit on them because they're irrelevant.
Yeah.
But in second place, I've gone Melbourne City.
Ooh, okay. So, I mean, I've got them in first, clearly.
I think Melbourne City, good squad, good team, always good. Jamie McLaren bangs in goals for fun.
Always.
Marco Tilio, you got all the young players coming through that proved themselves a couple of years ago. But look, I just think Melbourne victory with Tony Popovich and who they've brought in. You've got Nanny, who's just a superstar for the club and for the league. I just think Melbourne victory are going to win. Only, I reckon, 2 points in the end of it. But Melbourne victory will finish first.
I mean, I could see that too. Like, oh God, they're going to get off to a great start with a big win against Sydney FC. So,
massive, yeah. Huge win in the big blue.
So we are very similar all the way up, except for the Western United thing, but pretty much the entire way up until our final four, basically. And then we have the same teams there, just mixed around a bit. So, you know, very similar. I just think City... I don't think... Because Norbo's a very much a very similar vein of like a John Aloisi for me. He's just there. He just rolls the ball out. They have great recruitment because they're part of the City Football Group. Jamie McLaren's a freak. Naboo's amazing. I think they're going to lose a bit with Connor Metcalf, but I still think they're head and shoulders above. Mm-hmm. Maybe not head and shoulders above the rest of the league. Head and shoulders above a lot of the league, but I think they're... Yeah, that top five, anyone could win it in my top five, but I think they will... They're just good during the season. They know how to get first past the post. And then in the finals is a fucking throw it against the wall and see if it sticks. But yeah.
But who cares? It's finals football. No one cares.
Yeah. This is just the ladder, you know? And I think City will get that minor premiers plate that MacArthur don't think is worth shit. But, you know, when they win it, it'll be the best thing in the fucking world. So.
Oh, 100% it will be.
Again, we're going to MacArthur again.
You know what?
It's a problem.
One thing MacArthur will never hold over both Sydney FC and Western Sydney Wanderers, do it in your first season.
Yeah, that's it. Win a trophy in your first fucking season. Or before your first season. Both of us have done it. Yeah. So, is what it is.
Where's yours?
Yeah. What is it? Australia Cup. Got one of those. Completed it, mate.
Inaugural, bro. It's the inaugural Australia Cup.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best arguments I saw from this is, did you win it in your third season? No, because it wasn't a competition when we were both 3 years old.
It didn't exist. You guys just won the Champions League in your, what, second season? Third season?
Second season.
Slightly bigger trophy than the Australia Cup. So we won the league and then the Oceania Championship. And then we went to the Club World Cup and came fifth out of sixth, sucked in Sao Paulo. But fifth best team in the world at one stage. We used to sing about it. Now we're not even the fifth best team in New South Wales.
No, you are not.
Thanks, Steve Corica.
Well, as we said at the start, the A-League's men's kicks off tonight. Fantastic bit of football coming up. Well, look. Apologies again for disappearing for 8 months, but we will be back better.
Yeah,
this has been a bit of a rush job when we could finally get a schedule to work out. But look, we're back for the long run here. As I said, I'm so excited for A-Leagues this year. You got A-League men, A-League women, you got the World Cup. This is a massive year for the Circling Rectangle Show. Because you wouldn't believe it if we go A-Leagues with a midway World Cup back into the A-Leagues into a Women's World Cup.
Yep. I am really excited about that A-League women's competition. I'm telling you, Sydney FC are going to be really good again this year, and that's probably all I've got to look forward to, but I have three more awards.
We'll be doing an A-League women's preview season kicks off, before the season kicks off. We're not that that bad at people, but look, it will be done. A-Leagues is back, ladies and gentlemen. The Circle and Rectangle Show is back. Jamie Brown, it's good to see you again, and look, I tell you what, I'm so excited for this year's football.
Yeah, just bring on tonight. Kickoff 7:45. Yes, it's Adelaide. It's City and West United. So it's a grand final replay. You're going to get some good football out of City. You're going to see John Aloisi floundering around on the sideline, not knowing what's going on. But it's back. Football's back in the country. It's going to be a massive 12 months. It's going to be huge. So
huge.
Bring it on.
This is going to make or break Australian football, as far as I'm concerned.
Please,
the next 12
break.
Months.
We're supposed to have a second division coming in a couple of seasons. It can't break it already. It's got to make it.
I tell you what, someone else has already broken it, and it wasn't either of us.
It wasn't any A-League clubs either. But hey, it is
what it is. We're unfortunately from New South Wales. But anyways, Jamie Brown, enough from us. Look, we will see you after the weekend. We'll be back hopefully Tuesday nights from now on.
Yeah.
And after the A-League rounds are finished, mate, I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, no more midweek games. Let's just do regular weekend stuff so we can record in a good, timely fashion. Please, APL.
Correct.
Danny Townsend.
Jamie Brown, it's good to see you again. Thank you all for tuning into this week's episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show. It's good to be back.
Good to be back.